JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs.
I want to say it was a rodeo, but it might have been your podcast.
Everybody should listen to the Joe Customs podcast.
All 12 of you.
And the 12th one's my mom.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. I need to grab a beer and some Windex.
Naha boots.
Leg.
Joe Customs does not condone the use of sniffing glue.
Bucket list.
We slam the door on that one.
Hi, and welcome to the Joe Customs podcast. I'm John, a.k.a. P-Love.
I'm Dan, a.k.a. The Spectre.
I'm Brad, TR101AL.
And I'm Jeff, a.k.a. Joe Michael 70, with nothing clever to say. There you go. You got them both.
And welcome to our 1 year podcast. Exactly 1 year ago today, all of us, Jeff wasn't on just yet. We had a mysterious stranger recording with us. We recorded our pilot episode. Here we are 1 year later, all the better for the wear and tear and Skype and all the things that go along with it. We're obviously got some listeners out there, so thank you for sticking with us.
We thank all 12 of you. Thank you.
Hey, how many did you guys do without me?
I think 3.
All right, because when we get to the end of these things, I'm going to stop contributing at the last 3. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
You make it sound like you've been contributing all along.
Oh.
Need some water for that burn? Yeah, I think I only missed one. The night I was in Philly, you guys did with Gyro Viper.
Speaking of Gyro Viper, we got a message from him. Let me see if I can pull this up.
That's what she said.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah. We're off to a great
one of those shows.
It was great. What
happens when we don't have a guest?
It's going to be the 1 year and done. That's yeah, hold on, let me write that down. One and done.
Hey, it's Gyro Viper. I got your message about leaving a voicemail or something. You guys are having some sort of a Joe Customs, I don't know, rodeo or sort of anniversary, I'm not sure. Honestly, I'd like to help out. It's a few weeks below my pay grade. I hope you understand. If you want, I can have someone I know call and leave you a message on my behalf. You know, I'd have my agent do it, but again, we don't really go near this stuff. I know I was on your podcast or whatever, but I don't even remember any of that. But, you know, thanks for reaching out. Don't ever be afraid to just ask. But like I said, I'm a little too good for it, if you know what I mean. But I'll tell you a joke. What does a mole and a falcon have in common? They both live underground, except for the falcon. All right. Well, I really can't talk long. Got things to do. Big, smug, elitist things that this conversation's already gone too long. I can't even believe you made me call you. So, good luck with whatever it was. And I want to say it was a rodeo, but it might have been your podcast. Congratulations, I guess, but please don't actually put this on your podcast. Hope it helps.
Yeah.
Thank you. How are we going to get a copyright symbol on that?
I'll have my people contact his people. See, we got another one from
Good. Good God, that guy can't even leave a voicemail in under 5 minutes.
I have to admit, it is the most elitist voicemail I've ever received. And the Joe Customs red bat phone is lighting up, and we have a special caller on the line. Caller?
Yes. Hello. Who's this?
This is P-Love from the Joe Customs podcast. To whom am I speaking?
Well, I go by many different names, but you probably know me the best as Lance Sputnik.
The superstar?
The superstar. PhD, all that.
Well, hold on a second. Jeff, could you hold it together just a little bit longer?
Dude, I can't help it. I'm videotaping a picture of Sputnik on Facebook while he's talking. and it's really surreal and happy.
Tell him to refresh that image on Facebook.
Oh my God, I'm totally going to put this on Beer Customs.
Do you have that new avatar?
So, oh, we got a communication from the Enterprise. What's been your favorite Joe Customs podcast over this past year?
Well, honestly, be a little bit more serious here for a moment. Joe Customs Awards podcast, which I was fortunate to sit in on when, you know, you made the announcement and I actually won a couple of things. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Didn't you win a lifetime achievement award?
Yes, I did. Surprisingly enough, means we're getting pretty close to the bottom of the barrel. So, yeah, it was an honor.
Yeah, that was actually
a proud moment for me.
That was a good episode. And I think we're going to return again with that for the next Joe Customs Awards too.
Good. I think that's a good idea. It was a lot of fun.
Do you guys have anything you want to say to him, Jeff?
What, Nick? Not really. I've just kind of been talking to him all day.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking your time out from your in-laws to pop in. I wish Skype wasn't being such a pain.
Jason? That's all right. I understand. But thanks for having me on. I think you guys are doing a great job. I love what you do. And here's to many more years.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
What? Well, you know, whatever.
Hey, I plan on doing this show for as long as it runs, 5-6 episodes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jason. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, we definitely have to do another Joe Customs Award. That was fun last time.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben, otherwise known as B.I. Thomas, and I'm congratulating the Joe Podcast on making it one full year. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Anyway, congrats again.
The maniacal laugh.
I think we had to like make all the major announcements for the side on here, you know, like for the mascot winner and, you know, some of the other, you know, big contests and stuff we had to do it on here and just kind of bring something to the table, you know, you don't normally have.
You mean the Joe Customs mascot contest that has a deadline of September 1st? That one?
That would be the one.
All right. We got another voicemail on here. This one from Hypno Hustler.
Hey, P-Love and the whole JC podcast crew. This is Matt, better known as Hypno Hustler, all you people out there. I'm just calling in to congratulate you guys on a whole year of podcasting. Now that you're established, I might have to actually start listening. Keep it up, guys.
Thanks, Matt. You should listen to the podcast.
Everybody should listen to the Joe Customs podcast.
All 12 of you.
And the 12th one's my mom.
Actually, we had a slow day at the hospital a month or two back, and we actually listened to a full podcast in the in one of the phlebotomy pods. All my coworkers wanted to hear it.
Well, what did they think about it?
They liked it. They actually did.
Cool.
You know, I talked about it to you guys, but I don't think I talked about it. For every single episode, besides the pilot one, which we ran unedited, but all the edited ones, I probably listened to a single episode about 4 times if you put it all together. You know, because as I'm editing, I listen to bits, you know, once or twice, 3 times maybe. And then I'll listen to it one solid time through before I post it. And then I probably listen to it on the regular podcasting, my regular listening schedule at work, just in the background. Man, I can't tell you. It's not like I'm like, wow, what a great podcast. No, I listen to it and go, ah, that P-Love guy is such a jerk.
You still like us, though?
You're pretty funny. Dan's voice is sexy. Brad usually turns in, I like his southern charm, so he usually has some good customizing. He's the only one bringing customizing information to this podcast. And then I listen to me talk. It's like, oh, man, you have the voice for silent movies. It's awful.
I'm glad you say that because I didn't want to be the one to tell you.
I listen to every show once it goes up because I want to hear exactly, you know, what a great editing job you did to get rid of all the awkward silences and the foul language and everything else.
In the background.
Here's I got a message from my doctor. I thought I'd play for you guys.
This is Dr. Bindi sending along congratulations for a great first year. I will say that the two words I got to speak in that Gary Goggles interview were the highlight of the last 12 months for me, if not my entire career, which makes me think that you guys need to maybe start getting sick or missing some shows a little bit more often so that the special limited edition co-host can get another crack at glory. But keep having fun, guys.
Dennis, you're welcome anytime.
Exactly. Dennis can be on anytime he wants to be on. He's a great guy and love talking to him.
Yeah, I agree.
Since we're talking about Dennis, maybe we should jump ahead a little bit and throw in talk about his spaceport, because I think we need to have a portcast crew on his Joe Cantina.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. If I could get those on here. they've all got busy schedules. I tried to get some of them on here for this one, and but I agree. That cantina dot. Yeah, I still can't say it.
Caldiva.
That cantina thing is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I keep waiting to see how he's going to fit everybody from the site in there.
How many members we got now?
Active or total?
Mostly.
Registered, I think it's like 2,500. And then active, it's probably like 25.
Well, he's got his work cut out for him.
No, it's usually like 50 per week, and then it revolves around who's active that particular week versus any other week.
Yeah, but I want to see him do a bunch of, like, you know, generic-looking robots that could be spam bots, because they keep coming on and asking if they want to have downloadable
awesome.
He needs to give that Lance Sputnik robot some spam hammers, because Jason's been on that.
Yeah. I was going to ask him if he could actually remove his head and drink a beer like he showed on his character.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Lance Sputnik drink a beer. I think because he's such a cheap customizer, he doesn't drink alcohol. So, do you guys have anything you'd like to add to this part of the show, the 1 year? Anything, any highlights stick out for you guys?
I think the highlight, in honesty, is every month we get together, have our little chat fest here, and get to share it with the world. That's the highlight for me, every episode.
I was just going to pop in and say, I always consider this just to be us, like, you know, like, it's a little vanity thing, talking to each other and that kind of thing, and getting somebody on and letting them have a little, you know, spiel or something like that. But then when you go out on the site and you find out that our members actually do listen to this now and again, and, you know, once in a while they're like, that was interesting, or that was interesting, or, you know, I have it on in the background while I'm customizing, that's gratifying, you know? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually got a fan letter the other day on Facebook from somebody who listens to the podcast.
What?
Yeah, at least if I can pull it up right now, I'll tell you who it was.
Brad's mom?
I got that same letter. No, that was from my sister.
Let me log in here real quick.
Like the same thing. She's number 14.
I got to tell you, like, I get butterflies every time we're set to record, you know, trying to do some last-minute show prep on a Saturday, you know, when we've been recording. But when we actually get to recording, it's so relaxing. It's just a couple of guys talking about customs.
Exactly.
That's the best part to me, you know, out of everything. It's not for the plan things that we plan to talk about. It's the side offshoot conversations we get going where we're, you know, talking about what we're using, what we found. I mean, you guys talking about the AVs. And I mean, it's just to me, that was the learning lesson of the whole podcast. And it's what I go back and refer to when I, what were we talking about? And I'll have to pull that back up and, oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Shows with Eric Aranya, Gyre Viper, those were just like, sit down, you're going to hear some awesome stuff, you know, that'll blow your mind kind of episodes. And I can't thank those guys enough for coming on. That's something, like, I've had those discussions at JoeCon with them, you know, to an extent, but to really just have them and focus on them and what they're up to and what they're learning, that just blows my mind and made it all worth the effort, you know?
Yeah, we've had some really great guests over the past year, and very kind to us and for taking their time, and very informative.
And more importantly, we have guests for the next few months all lined up that we're trying to get on here. So if there's somebody you want to hear from, we're trying to get them. Trust me.
Yeah, right. We really should implement that suggestion box somewhere on the site too. Who's coloring?
Not me.
I'm sorry, it's me. I wanted to see what Elmo would look like in purple.
Something tells me that's not a joke.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. I need to grab a beer and some Windex.
Again, I'm pretty sure that's not a joke either.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
good.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Why don't you break down the NJCC for us? How was that?
This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go down to Cherry Hill to the NJCC, the New Jersey Collectors Convention. And I've got to say, it was a great little show. I had gone earlier in the year, I believe it was in April, and unfortunately, it was a little cramped. It was a little, you know, kept bumping into people. And it was basically just strictly Joe and Transformers toys that were available at the show, with a very, very tiny smattering of anything else. And I was very surprised that this time around, the dealer's room was presented in a lot more organized way. The tables were closer together, allowing for more passage for people in the aisles, so less bumping into each other when you're trying to look at what's on the tables, which is nice. And the dealers actually brought a ton of different merchandise. I saw everything. Of course, Joe and Transformers had a heavy presence, as always, but there was tons of Star Wars, tons of Marvel Universe, some incredibly obscure old toys. I actually saw a boxed Captain Power Power Base, which I have not seen since Child World in, like, 1987. A lot of good stuff. The industry guests were great as well. Boss Fight Studio was there with Eric Aranya, who, as you know, is a friend of the show. Got to talk to him in person. He was a great guy. I got to see all the cool original sculpts for the figure subscription series figures that Boss Fight did. Lots of cool design work. They were doing sketches for the crowd, and one of the sculptors was actually sculpting a Renegades Destro head sculpt while he was talking to the fans, and it was beautiful. This year, they also had, as always, they had an exclusive figure that was a giveaway at the show that had to be won via raffle, and it was Mirage from the Mega Marine subset of the original G.I. Joe line. The figure was a collaboration between quite a few customizers. Nova, Crimson Guard, Raging Spoon, Marauder Inc. actually put some weaponry in the set. Beautifully made figure. It was mostly a Wave 1 Retaliation Snake Eyes with a cast Resolute Arctic Duke head, a custom-made vest, and a bunch of custom weaponry. And I was talking to Kevin Watts, who's a Crimson Guard, as he was putting the figures together, and just seeing these great little figures come together live in person was kind of a treat. And he gave me a proof card of the artwork that, unfortunately, was a misprint. They had come back from the printer as a little on the small side, so he couldn't use them. So he was giving them out to, Joe Customs members as they came by the table. So I got one of those at least. I didn't get the figure, but I got the proof card. I had a great time hanging out with Nova from our board, and Kevin and the guys from Boss Fight. I saw a couple of the people I knew there at the show, and it was just an amazing improvement from one show to the next. And I'd like to think that my review that I had posted of the show last time might have influenced things a little bit to have them reorganize in a tiny little fashion, and made the show a much more enjoyable experience.
Now, if people wanted to read your review and see some of the pictures you took from the show, where can they find them?
That was done by ImperialShipyards.net, who get me press passes and such for shows. So it's over at www.ImperialShipyards.net, and you can find it in their convention coverage section, which is, should be towards the top of the page.
So CoilCon's going on right now.
Yes.
That is true. That is today.
Have you guys seen their exclusives that they're handing out, too?
It's the Streethawk bike, isn't it?
It's more than that.
Yeah, it's more than that.
That's the only thing I've seen the pictures of.
You go ahead and say his name, because I can't even say it.
What are you talking about?
The
Naha boots.
You know, I can't even figure it out, because I'd have to pull it up and actually try to read it off the website, but there's the real thing. But then, did you see what they're doing about, like, the bootlegs of the real thing?
I don't think that was everybody. I think that was just one person that decided to make it as a joke. But yeah, they made bootlegs of their bootleg.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, to do that justice, we should probably pull it up and actually read it off for real.
Naha boots. Leg.
Have we gotten any good solid entries in the mascot contest?
Yeah, we have three solid entries.
We have four. You can check your inbox tomorrow. Nice.
Yay.
I had fun with this thing. It's the most fun I've had on a custom in a while. I kind of went with the, Wii or Xbox 360 or Xbox Live avatar thing. I mean, it's a little out of the box. It's kind of funny looking, but I think you'll appreciate it when you see it. Sorry, I'm customizing as I was talking to you guys. I had to have my hands free for a minute.
You little son of me.
I'm sampling parts while we're talking, too.
I'm not customizing, too. That's why I'm only using one hand on the
keyboard. I'm looking at show notes.
Are you using Windex right now? No, I finally gave up and just took the piece of glass up to my wife and said, I can't do this.
Codename Iowa, assembly required.
November 16th, 2013, Codename Iowa presents assembly required.
In Des Moines.
For G.I. Joe fans only.
And Joe Czar is going to be there. He's going to be representing JC along with a few other of our members. But actually, they're trying to work out exactly what Joe Custom is going to be doing at the show, whether it's just a table or whether it's going to be some kind of presentation. But we will have a presence there.
And hopefully we'll have a mascot by then to be there.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Don't expect...
I think whatever the mascot turns out to be, we should actually get some fundage together or make a costume and have somebody appear in costume at every convention.
That is freaking genius. I nominate Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what? That's cool as long as we can throw a little Kickstarter together for a plane ticket every time. We can do that.
Or we'll just send the costume around to whoever's closest. But you got to wash it before you return it.
Well, maybe we can just back up and make me the mascot, and therefore there won't be a costume. It's just me.
Ah, that's an idea.
Yeah, you didn't say it was a good idea.
It is an idea. One other show I want to mention, though, is October 4th up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the East Coast Custom Con. The guys from Angel Forge are putting together a small meet and... They're going to have some custom demonstrations and presentations, and of course, showing off some of their work and from everybody around the area. So if you're in the Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York area, you might want to check it out.
Wait, which one is that?
The East Coast Custom Con.
Is that the Fighting 118?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, we should talk about that Fighting 118 because that's awesome.
Yeah, it's something we actually talked about, doing a show just like that, but... they've got the Angel Forge behind them. Dermo is going to be there, pimping his contest. The info is up on... Sorry, I got distracted. I got a phone call.
Who is it? Who's calling?
Hold on. Hello? Hold on. Actually, we're recording right now. I'll put you on speaker with everybody. It's J-Man.
Hey.
Hey, J-Man, what's going on?
Hey, everybody, what's up? Just want to call and say happy one-year anniversary for the podcast.
Awesome. Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you. Southern
charm. Yeah, not a problem.
Lots of Southern charm going on tonight, you and Brad. So, J-Man, what's been your favorite Joe Customs podcast moment?
Mostly I liked the last one, most of all, the one with Eric, the interview and all that. That was pretty cool. So, that was the main one I could tell you about the most. So.
Thanks for calling there. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not Thanks, a problem Joe. At all.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye bye.
That was cool. Very cool.
That was very cool.
Oh, man. I'm getting all choked up.
We have the 16th fan. And it's not my mom.
My dog wanted to be 16th, but he can't type, so.
Oh.
He can dictate to you and you can type it for him.
It's a little rough on his ears. I felt bad as soon as it came out of my mouth.
That's what she said. Man, she's saying a lot tonight, isn't she?
She's talking to
you. Very much so.
What were we talking about?
What were we talking about before J-Man called?
CoilCon.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting 118th.
Oh, yeah. So, Dermo's got his contest going on at that convention, which I thought was really cool.
Kumite, whatever it's called?
Kumite. He's got it going on. So, anybody who's out there and who can do that, that sounds like a lot of fun. I wish something like that would work out in such a way that we could do it live at one of the conventions we're doing, you know, or at JoeCon or something, but it's one of those things where you really either got to plan it real well or all the stars have to line up, you know?
Yeah, I think JoeCon, it's too big for something like that, you know, unless you pull it aside like they did with the Creo thing or the customizing class. There's just too much stuff going on once you hit the sales floor.
Agreed.
Yes, very, very much agreed.
But it's super cool, and I'm going to try to record some sound bites from that show. I'm looking forward to it. So, the CoilCon exclusives?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Forgot what I was doing. I'm on their webpage, and I was just...
He was busy with his Windex.
Yeah. No, actually, I moved on to my Shield Striker. Unfortunately, they've started uploading all of their...
Yeah.
Well, not unfortunately, but they've started loading up all the photos from today. So what used to be really easy to go look at, now is buried pretty deep. There's a lot of people there.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, look at... It was a nice day. It was 82 degrees. Oh, wait, 81 degrees.
General Joe's has the box. So it's the Street Hawk in the black, and you know, it's got the character from the Street Hawk TV show using the Shiko cycle. But they also have it in green with, I believe it's...
Naha boots.
Or whatever that foreign exclusive is. All right. When we figure that out, we'll edit it in.
CoilCon.com.
You let me know when you know the names.
Still can't find it.
Yeah.
Jeff broke the internet.
Dan, I think it's going to be another case where it's Jeff saying, yeah, it's, and you pop it in going,
Naha boots. Yeah, Eric actually got a kick out of that. I talked to him at NJCC.
Speaking of the NJCC, going back to it, you mentioned something you picked up that once you talk about it now, because it was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. I got from Nova. He had done a test run of a new diorama product that he's going to be putting out soon that is a throne covered in skulls. And it is just a beautiful piece of work. Like, imagine the Game of Thrones sword throne, but with skulls instead of swords. And that kind of gives you the idea. I posted some pictures up on Joe Customs. It's a beautiful piece. It's a nice heavy resin piece. Unfortunately, this being attached, there was some issues with it, some air cavities, some rough spots that needed to be smoothed out because they're not ready for public consumption yet. But I was lucky enough to get one of them to bring home and kind of play with. And I made a couple of improvements that I sent pictures of to Nova. And he's going to try to implement them into the next run of this item when it actually gets ready for sale to the public. But it is a beautiful piece of work. It is a medieval-looking throne with copies of the Montezuma's skeleton skull from the DVD box set replicated and put all over it, piled with some of the cool touches. There's even skulls under the seat of the throne. There's five of them arranged in kind of a U-shape. And on the armrest, each one is ended with a skull adorning the end of the armrest. It is a beautiful piece, and I'm so proud to actually have one of these original ones here. I'm debating on the color scheme, which I'm thinking it's either going to be a solid sculpted item, as if it is stone or iron, or I may just go full-out gory and make it look like real skulls on top of a wooden or metal chair. But it's a beautiful piece. It is a little bit short in the leg department for a Joe. So if you're going to put a Joe in it, you're going to need to either put his legs out pretty far in front of him, or he's going to have his knees up a little over waist level. Star Wars scale figures, however, being a quarter inch shorter than Joe's, they're perfect. They sit in it, their butt touches the seat, their feet are on the floor, knees are at a 90-degree angle. It's perfect. But I'm going to alleviate the issue for Joe's by sculpting a one-inch to one-quarter-inch high cushion to put on the seat. They will raise it up to the proper height so the Joe will not have to have his feet all the way out in front of him like he's lounging, or with his knees up in front of his chest. Yeah, so it is a great, great little piece.
Yeah, it's just a cool-looking thing.
It's pretty heavy, too. It's solid resin.
Yeah, when he starts selling those, I'll be first on the list to get one of those, definitely.
And he's one of he's nailed down the like production level plastics perfectly.
Agreed.
On his reproductions.
Oh yeah, it feels just like an actual Hasbro product. The material he used it's very, very professional, as is all the casting that he does.
I'm sorry, I'm throwing this on you guys last minute, but why don't we turn this into a fodder box segment? Anything any of you guys have picked up within the last week that you're going to be using for customizing?
I actually got, thanks to my friend Simon, you guys know him as Narthoron. I don't know if he's still on Joe Customs or not anymore, but he used to be pretty active. He got me two of the Masters of the Universe Megator figures that I was looking for. That's the giant green monster. He was able to get two of those for me and mailed them up to me. I'm going to use them for my goblins and orcs and trolls project. They're going to be great trolls. Which means they'll be, like enormous trolls. There's going to be some modifications.
Not like awesome trolls?
No, they're just great. They're not awesome yet.
Are they going to be, those would be bigger than the cave troll figures that are already out there, right?
Oh, quite a bit bigger. They're probably half again as tall. Although the cave trolls were kind of like short and squat. These are tall and athletic looking. But the cave troll would probably come up to about the chest on this figure. I don't own a cave troll, but I've seen one at my uncle's house. And it probably comes up about to the chest on this Megator. So it's a big monster. I got two of them because he comes with an alternate head. So I have one sporting each head, so it's two different characters.
Not to stir the pot, but you don't call the cave troll your uncle's your aunt, do you?
No, I do not. No, I would not be nice to my aunt.
Okay, just checking.
No, I like my aunt.
Brad, what about you? Did you get anything this past week?
I haven't actually been to a brick and mortar in a while, but my wife was nice enough to clean out my kid's room and ended up with some retaliation fodder that they lost interest in. So it's mine now. And I'm doing a wave of figures of kind of a what if, G.I. Joe 3 was to happen, and tooling the certain characters to how they would maybe look if they were in the movieverse.
Nice.
Any idea of a sneak preview of who we can expect to see?
Yeah, I can give you a couple of previews. Leatherneck is one. I did a Snake Eyes, like a Dollar General type Snake Eyes in the movieverse, and a Major Blood. And there's more to come, but those are the main three.
Very nice. Did you base Major Blood off his minute appearance in Retaliation?
I couldn't find any good reference picks, so I just said, oh, heck with it, I'll do what I want to do.
Jeff?
What was the question?
Fodder box.
Do I have any new fodder?
Yeah. What'd you pick up new this week?
This week, I bought a bunch of casts.
So I have new heads in from Angel Forge and Star Wars Geek, and I'm waiting on some stuff from Fortius, and I'm waiting on some stuff from one more guy. Anyway, so all of my stuff in this week has been cast except for Kilcar, who sent me a low light, which will be the base fig for the RPG that Raptors got started up on the site. So that's my goal by the end of this weekend, is to get that custom together and post it up so that we can begin before they all just hate me and decide to frag me from behind.
Wait, the Pursuit of Cobra Lowlight?
Yes, the Pursuit of Cobra Lowlight.
With his bullet?
With his bullet. Kilcar doesn't mess around. When he says all accessories, he means it.
Yeah, he's been pretty good in the past. I've gotten a lot of stuff from him, and has never been missing anything. And if it was, he expressly states it.
Nice.
Of course, it all kind of smells like Down Unders.
Oh, jeez. Well, besides the Wave 3.5 I picked up, man, what a great set of figures. But besides those, at Five Below, I picked up the miniature version of Clue that we talked about on the previous podcast. And it actually came with two Joe-scaled weapons, as accessories for the game. But they've got little magnets on them, so they stick to the board. So I have a little pirate pistol and a little dagger that are Joe-scaled out of it, made out of metal and magnetized.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Wait, what was the second thing?
A pirate pistol and a little dagger.
Oh, dagger. I thought you said bagger, and I was like, what? What kind of a weapon is a dagger?
I was hoping for the noose, but I guess not. Not in the miniature version.
I'd never been to a Five Below before until I went to pick up my kids in Michigan, and I was like, wow. I was like, that place is awesome. I wish they had them down here.
They might as well call it Customizer Fodder. That store is awesome for that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I found the last waves of Iron Man and Thor and a bunch of other stuff there. Stuff you couldn't find at Toys R Us. Getting them real cheap up there.
Yeah. That's actually why I went in there. I heard people were picking up some of the Thor figures that didn't actually make it out to all the retail stores. They're not in quantity. So I was trying to find some of those figures. Not Thor. The non-Thor figures from the Thor line.
You're Thor. Thor, I can't even...
I'm still a little Thor about it.
It's all that Windex.
So is anybody actually finding Wave 3.5 in the wild, or is it just a Big Bad Toy Store and Kokomo Toys?
People are finding it. Apparently it's making its way from the West Coast out to the East Coast.
All I want is a Data Viper. That's it. I don't want anything else. And it's driving me nuts that I can't find one.
You're not going to want one. You're going to want multiples of it, I'm sure.
And he was available on the Hasbro Toy Shop this morning for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, about a minute and a half, yeah.
Yeah, Hasbro Toy Shop's been loading up, and reloading and reloading, but never at the same time. So all of a sudden, the new Marvel Universe will come up with Elektra and Mysterio, and then all of a sudden, Quinn will pop up, and then a day later, it'll be... the Cobra Trooper from the line, and then it'll be something, the Black Series from Star Wars on a different day. So they're basically like, no, we're not shipping it all at once.
Yep. I saw not a great amount, but a small amount of Wave 3.5 at NJCC, but everybody wanted $35 a piece for them.
Yeah. They know people are having trouble finding them, so yeah. Trying to get their money back on the whole wave.
No, I'm not going to lie. That's the first time, I think that's the first complete wave I've bought, and I bought the whole wave from BBTS in, 3, 4, or 5 years now.
Yeah.
But I figured, the only ones I didn't want were Duke and Flint, and in the end, they're awesome too. So yeah. Now I just need one more Army Joe Viper so I can customize one up.
I'm just hoping that somebody ends up casting the drones that come with Duke and the Data Viper. I'd like to get a half dozen of those things.
I'm going to guess that you're going to be able to pick those up for, pennies on the dollar on eBay after all the customizers get done with the figures.
I've seen people army building the Duke already, so yeah. I'm sure you're going to be able to pick it up.
Yeah, somebody posted on Facebook their haul for the day. They had 12 Dukes.
Just to go back to the fireboxing, one last thing. It's really small and stupid, but I kind of like it. at Walmart in their scrapbooking section. They had a full sheet for, I think it was like two something, of G.I. Joe scale road signs. So like one way, stop sign, yield. It's made for scrapbooking, but it's got like levels to it. So it's almost 3D-ish. So, you know, the party street, fast lane, and then stop sign, yield sign, stuff like that. Don't know when I'll use it, but anytime you find Joe's scale diorama stuff, you got to pick it up.
Oh, yes, certainly. Anytime I find anything that's even remotely 1/18th or 1/20th scale, I pick it up, even if I know it's just for my friends, if I'm not going to use it myself.
Yeah, honestly, if I could snag some of those wooden coffins that they showed, that was posted on the site, those are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, at Michael's, yeah.
Last night, I was walking through Menards getting some spray paint and found out that they're putting out their holiday or their Halloween stuff. So there is actually some in-scale Halloween stuff at Menards these days. Do you guys have Menards?
What'd you see?
If I tell you, then Killcar's going to hear it, and he's going to make it before I finish, and then I'm going to be all...
John won't put that part in the show, that's all.
He's totally become the new Chad Matt. I swear to God. Anyway, no, they've got out some jack-o'-lanterns, pumpkins. And so I'm looking at making both a Merv pumpkin head as well as a Marvel jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, Merv pumpkin head is awesome.
I know. Don't tell Adrian Veidt that or Killcar.
Yep. A year or so back, it was after the Halloween season when they were clearancing out all their stuff, I picked up a couple of, I don't know what they're called, but you ever see like the Christmas Village with the little porcelain houses?
Oh, yeah. It's the same line, Dan.
Yeah, it's the same line. They had a Halloween town. And yep. Some of the accessories were actually useful. They had these little piles of skulls. I was picking them up for like 88 cents for four of them. And I cleaned them out. I bought, I don't know, probably like 10 or 15 packs of them. There's some good stuff. You just got to know where to look. If anybody has a Kmart near them, they are discounting their entire Retaliation line. They're not discounted that much. It's only 10% so far, but they're not going to be carrying them any longer, so you can watch them go pretty low. I have a feeling before the end of September, you're probably going to get the figures for a buck or two apiece.
Oh, also, Target is clearancing out. Oh, I wish I would have. I took a picture, but I don't have it on me at the moment. But
I know what you're talking. The car parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of that line?
Extreme Customizers.
Yeah, yes. Extreme Customs or something. And it's actually not a 1/18 line. It's like some kind of weird, funky thing. But for tech detail and just kibble, it's really good, especially for the fact that it's about $1 for a package now.
Yeah, $1.18 a piece. I picked up, they had, for one of their military vehicles, they had an assortment of Gatling guns. And the chrome ones, the barrels actually spin.
Yes. I picked up
about 12 of those.
And in fact, one of the things, for outstanding customizers, someone used it on a stretcher custom.
Well, yes, he used the little radar dish thing with the medical logo on it.
Right.
It was Bucky that did it.
Bucky, right. Thank you.
No problem. I just found it myself.
What did he do?
He used a piece of one of those Extreme Customs car parts on the back of the hovercraft for stretcher.
Yeah, the part that's got the red cross and the radar dish on it?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, for his little hoverboard, he put it on there on the back of it, and it just looks totally sweet.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of those. They're pretty nice.
And I told him in the thread, it's like, I was looking, I got it for the Gatling guns, obviously, you know, whether it goes on a war machine or a vehicle, I have no idea, but I was like, oh yeah, I got a use for that. And I got home, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this Red Cross thing with the radar dish? Maybe I can just cut the radar dish off. The very next day, he has it on his stretcher custom. I'm like, oh, what a good eye for parts. That's perfect.
Yep. Bucky's always been pretty good for stuff like that.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to put in there with some clean audio is I believe that Bucky's going to be there at Iowa Assembly.
Oh, very cool.
That's all.
What do you guys think about the figure lines going back to the basic 4 points of or 5 points of articulation? I mean, you know, they've gone from fantastic back to basically block figures again.
I think, sadly, that is probably going to be the future of action figures, except for, like, you know, small run lines from companies other than the big manufacturers. Because, unfortunately, the market just isn't there anymore. Kids don't want toys anymore. They want video games. They want iPads. They don't want toys. They don't want action figures. And, you know, up to, like, they're maybe just 6 or 7 years old, and they don't want them anymore. So I think you're going to see a lot of cost-cutting like that.
I actually think you're going to see it split off. You're going to see stuff like what Star Wars is doing, where you have a collector-oriented line, which is basically what they kind of already did with the 30 points of articulation, and then a much cheaper, kid-friendly, just over $5 kind of line that's aimed specifically at the younger kids. I think that's what you're going to end up with for the most part, if they do it, if the lines last.
I got to be honest, I saw those new Avengers figures, and the actual detailing is not bad on those figures. You know, were they given the articulation, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, even though the 5POA Star Wars figures are really nice looking. Like, they look as if somebody took, you know, one of the vintage figures from back in the 70s and 80s, but had modern sculpting on it. The figures themselves look very sharp, but it's the lack of articulation, I think, is what kills it for guys our age.
Yeah, I don't have that big of a problem with 5POA at the 3¾ scale, but when you get the 12-inch scale, that's a little bit much.
Oh, the shampoo bottle figures, yeah.
You got them.
I mean, those figures weren't intended for, you know, the majority of the U.S. release. You know, they're not trying to compete with Hasbro's own 12-inch figures or, you know, the Hot Toys stuff. They're for the kid market and for the overseas market. But seriously, I see those and I'm like, those aren't going to move at all. They're just going to go right to clearance eventually.
Surprisingly, though, the Iron Man ones were moving pretty briskly in my area, and then they stopped, like, suddenly. Because, I mean, granted, there's only, like, I think, three figures in the line, but they were moving pretty quick when they first hit the shelves, and now they just sit. So somebody out there liked them, at least a little bit.
They were pity purchases.
They were some grandmother that didn't know any better.
That's very possible. What do you guys think of the 6-inch Star Wars Black line?
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to. I really didn't. And then I bought R2-D2, and now I ordered up the second wave.
I'm holding steadfast. I'm not doing it. I have 10,000 3¾-inch figures. I am not going into another scale.
Not even for your quote-unquote favorites?
No, honestly, no. I passed up the 12-inch ones. I passed up the Hot Toys or, you know, Sideshow, whatever it is. 3¾ is my scale. The only time I get anything outside of that scale is if it works with 3¾ and it just looks like a giant monster, like the Megators, or I picked up the Engineers from Prometheus. Because, I mean, in the film, he was only about 8 feet tall, but if you go by the original space jockey seen in Alien, they're like 25 feet tall, so the 8-inch figure works.
So you're not doing the 6-inch black line, huh?
Nope, not in the least. They're beautiful figures. I was admiring R2-D2 in the store today, but just not doing it. Holding steadfast, my 3¾-inch collection.
I just heard your wallet cry out in happiness.
Oh, yeah. And I've actually cut down a lot, even on the 3¾-inch stuff, because I realized the other day I was doing some inventory on my fodder parts. And aside from, you know, the close to 10,000 figures I have out, I've got probably another 2,000 that I have not disassembled yet, thanks to all the clearance sales over the years and you know, duplicates given to me by people and whatnot. I'm just buying now strictly just what I know I can use for a project.
Well, what new techniques or new customizing tools and supplies have you guys found over the last year that maybe we haven't discussed before or is fairly new that you may want to share with everybody?
Did we talk about that Army Painter Primer on this show yet?
Yes.
Yes, I think it was the last show or the one before it.
I just ordered up 5 cans of that stuff. I ordered white, black, gunmetal, barbarian flesh, ultramarine blue, and leather brown. 6 cans of that stuff. That's how much I believe in it. And actually, if you buy that much, it's free shipping. So that was nice.
Very cool.
Not bad.
So that ought to do me through winter anyway.
That's what she said.
I actually found something in my glue and paint box I've had for 10 years and never used, and surprisingly, it's still viable. What I was using to seal the separations in between the skulls on my skull throne is a tester's product called Clear Part Cement and Window Maker. It's essentially a less viscous version of the model glue, but it can be used to make clear windows. If you put it around the edge of one side of the part and pull it with your fingers to the other side and attach it, it will harden into a clear window.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, my uncle gave me this like 10 years ago because he wasn't going to use it. It came in a box of like a starter kit tester set. And I was looking for stuff to use as a sealant for the skull throne. And I came across this, and I'm like, you know, I haven't opened this thing in 10 years. It was brand new. I had to snip the top of the applicator to get it to start, but it's still viable. I've had this in my box for 10 years. He gave it to me in, like, 2002 or 3, and this thing still works. It's beautiful.
Did you say you had to sniff the applicator?
Snip the applicator. Joe Customs does not condone the use of sniffing glue.
That's why I had to make sure.
Yeah, no, it was like a crazy glue. You got to pop the top. But this one, you had to cut the tip off. So you had to circumcise the applicator.
Oh, it just breaks itself.
Well, the check is still available. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that definitely is interesting. I don't know if they still make it or not anymore. It's an old thing, but it was still viable. It still works. It takes a little while to dry.
Sorry, man. It was. I just had to get in there.
That's all right.
If you know what I'm saying.
With his Windex.
I think that whole bit just fell. If this was the walkthrough for Saturday Night Live, that would have got canned on Friday.
I picked up some a product called Aline's True Snow. It's like you brush it on, like any kind of snow diorama type thing. And it's kind of, they have it in a normal formula, or they have it in kind of with a glittery formula in it. It's a little bit thicker, and it's like a glue, but a little bit thicker. You put it on there, and it just really has a nice snow feel to it. You can kind of work it with your brush to give it kind of a texture to it.
That sounds pretty cool.
Wait, what's it for?
Just for, like, snow effects.
So in the end, it just kind of, it looks like just white flaky, or?
Kind of grainy, actually.
Like sand? Like sand?
Yeah, more like, you know, like snow.
Noted.
Yeah, you can find it at, Hobby Lobby and Michaels carries it. Kind of a neat little story, kind of off subject. About 15 years ago, I took one of our family friends to a Gibraltar Trade Center there in Michigan. And when I went to pick up my boys in Michigan, I got to talk to his family. And about 15 years ago, I took him to that trade center, and he picked up a VTOL. And I think it was a Tundra Stalker, and then we bought it for him because, you know, his sister had just been born, and we wanted to do something special for him, so we, you know, let him get a vehicle and a figure. And, you know, he got rid of all of his toys and everything, and still, the one toy he held on to was that one VTOL with that Stalker still sitting in the cockpit. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Hey, here's a question. You know that Stalker that has the dreads?
Yes.
That was a Resolute Stalker.
Wait. Right? Yeah, does he have, he's got a beret, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that sculpted on, or is that removable?
It's sculpted on.
No, it's sculpted on.
Okay, so then there's that Dreadnought who's got
the burnout.
And he does not, is that the same head, only without the beret?
No, different facial sculpt completely.
Who's got an extra burnout head I can borrow?
I've only got the one.
Yeah, me too.
I think Star Wars Geek has it.
Yeah, he might have cast ones, yeah.
Man.
I think Rodimus might have him, too.
Does he? All right. I'll have to open up another tab. Hold on.
John, where'd you get your Tony Stark head from?
Star Wars Geek and somebody else, another caster. I know that's helpful, but...
I'm sorry, who?
Another person who casts was so in the deal that it took him, like, 6 months to come through. I mean, he ended up coming through. I don't want to totally trash him, but yeah, he took a very long time for in-stock items.
What was really funny is that while you were waiting for all that and getting more and more under the hood, I like totally ordered from him and got my order and like customized with his stuff and posted it on the site, and you still were you hadn't gotten your stuff yet. It was awesome. I guess it's just how nice you are.
All right, so here's a message from Mirto and Beef, patched in from the bat phone.
Hello, this is Bradley Sandage here, calling from London, England. It gives me great pleasure to celebrate with you, my American friends, at such a happy time as the first anniversary of the JoeCustoms.com podcast.
Wow.
I don't think that was Bradley Sandage.
I tell you, that's like the most... I feel legitimate now.
I feel like we just got the king's speech.
I know.
I feel like I've been knighted or something.
I hate every one of you.
Now, the sad part is I'm holding my laptop over my computer's microphone for that.
Pixar didn't happen.
Oh, geez. One of the topics we wanted to talk about was custom prep. Not just like preparing a custom for customizing, but what do you do before you even pick up a paintbrush, pick up an X-Acto knife, whether it's environment or turning on the TV or radio or just things you need to have in front of you. What do you do to prepare to customize? Dan?
Well, the first thing
Wait. Before you answer that, I just want to cut in here and say, John, when you're doing that, you need to edit in some Eye of the Tiger.
Agreed.
Was it because I was out of breath?
Yeah. It's because you were running the steps, man.
Either that or Burning Heart from Rocky IV.
Wow. Rocky IV reference.
That's just Brad showing his age. All right, Dan, go ahead. Sorry.
I would trust you.
Well, before I can do any customizing, I usually have to make sure all my house husband work is done so that I can actually have a little time to sit down and customize. But then as soon as I'm sure that work is all done, first thing I do, I gather all the paint I'm going to need for that particular session, because a lot of times I will customize in front of my television. I'll be sitting on the couch watching TV. My wife will be on the next cushion over. And I'll bring out everything I need, set up one of my little TV trays, and then lay everything out nice and orderly and try to get to work.
Brad?
It really depends on the day. If I have the day off, I can sit down and plan my day. But if I've had a crappy day at work and I come home, sometimes I just grab things and go to town. It all depends on the environment and what kind of mood I'm in.
Jeff?
I've been thinking about how to answer this while everyone else is answering it. I think I have to let it build up, meaning I can't just customize every day. I have to, like, think about it for 3 or 4 days and get myself excited and ramped up towards it. And then on one day, I'll just, like, blow the whole load. And so I'll paint and I'll sculpt and I'll spray paint and I'll do all kinds of stuff all in one day. But as far as, like, getting prepped, I'm fortunate enough that I can just leave my stuff sitting out so that when it's time, it's all just ready for me to, you know, it's all still sitting there from the last time everything, you know, the last time inspiration erupted. How about you, P-Love? What do you do to get ready?
I'm lazy, so when I do get the chance to customize, which isn't as often as I'd like it to be, it's I need to have every single color and mix and a couple of spare jars and the X-Acto and a pair of vice grips. I mean, I just take it all and make sure it's all right there so I don't lose it. And if I do, I have a backup paintbrush just in case I lose the favorite paintbrush and the backup to the backup paintbrush, because it's going to happen. And, you know, just total silence so I can be all about it. And then, you know, as soon as I get the paint mix, something will happen and I'll have to stop customizing. But, I mean, it just all have to be there. And if I go out and, you know, try to watch TV, you know, the wife goes away with the kid and I get the house to myself for a second, you know, I'll go out in the living room and bring the tray and it's all out there. It's all on the tray. So when, you know, the kid does get home, I can shuffle it off into the office before she gets a hold of the X-Acto knife and starts running around the house.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to keep the X-Acto knife away from the kids.
We need the sound effect of the
I just got it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't really get to customize every day either. I customize maybe on the weekends. I'm always building something, though, but actually sitting down to paint, and that's the longest part. I can assemble stuff pretty quick. I've been assembling something while we're on the Skype here. Just been test fitting parts and whatnot. That stuff I do pretty quick, but painting takes a long time.
We talked about it a bunch, but do you guys really enjoy more the planned out customs, or do you enjoy the happy accidents and just kind of, you know, you get the parts together and you're like, wow, that could work?
I'll feel this one first. Both for different reasons. Sometimes those planned out customs, they don't go according to plan. So when they do, when you're like, you think about it so much and the idea works out exactly like you had it in your head and it functions and it just looks the way you thought it was going to look and maybe even a little bit better, that's awesome. But also when you're just cobbling something together or just by accident, you know, the ADD kicks in and you're like, oh, look, parts for a new bat or something. And all of a sudden you have this kick-ass custom you had no intention of making when you first sat down. Those are fun too. You know, those are the ones that remind you why you like customizing rather than being frustrated that things aren't coming out the way you planned it.
Good answer.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I my stuff is planned out usually pretty far in advance, but every now and again, I will just be digging through one of my parts boxes, and I'll put two pieces together and go, hey, that's actually pretty sweet looking, and I'll build a whole custom based around that that I had no plans to do. So they're both fun. They definitely are.
Yeah, I kind of coined the phrase custom ADD a long time ago, but so I'm going to give you a new one, custom Alzheimer's. Where I'll, you know, be up, you know, late at night where I can't sleep, and I'll start customizing and do something, and then, you know, the next morning I'll get up, when the heck did I do that? And, you know, I've done that with parts. I've parted out figures and thrown them in my drawer, and then all of a sudden a couple months later I'll look up and like, when did I put that together? And then I'll go to it.
I do that same thing, only it's worse for me, because what I'll do is I'll part something together, but I won't put a piece of paper with it to remind me of what it's supposed to be. And I'll find it a month or two later, or 6 months, or a year or more later, and I'll find this bag of parts and just have no idea what it was for. The last custom celebration, I did that with those things that I was calling the Discordians. And it was six action figures that I had parted out that I had no idea what I was doing or who they were or what they were for. But I just, you know, turned it into its own little project afterwards, and then I sent the whole mess off to Sputnik anyway.
Huh. Sorry, I'm texting with DR Bindi.
Cool. See if we can get on for a soundbite.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to work out.
He left us a voicemail, though.
Yeah, I know. I tried to add him to the Skype earlier, so he's just getting that.
Okay. Not that we don't want to have him on again. He's an awesome dude, but he already left us something.
Wrong. He's not an awesome dude. He's a lawyer. Oh, wait.
You're right. He's a really awesome person.
Ambulance chaser.
He'll tell you that's not far from the truth. Hold on, guys. Dennis? Hi.
Are we calling for a doctor?
Yeah, hold on. You're on speaker now, and I'll put you on with the other guys. All right, Dennis. How's it going?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Thanks for calling in. We played your sound bite a little bit earlier.
Pretty cool.
I got a little choked up.
Yeah, probably. I'm double dipping with the doctor now, huh? Call me back.
We were talking about how we need to have everybody from your space cantina on the diorama. Yeah. All right. Take two. We should have everybody from your space cantina on the podcast one day and talk about your work there.
Yeah, it'd be sweet. It's going to be a growing roster soon, so nobody's safe.
Any chance of getting the podcasters in the customized form?
I'm guessing that pretty much everybody in the group is going to show up.
Excellent.
Very cool.
When you do the TR101 AL custom, be sure to add his mom as the number one podcast listener.
You got it. I love mom.
I love when I feel like I missed the joke.
Since we're talking about this, how would you guys perceive yourself as a part of his spaceport? I can see myself with my screen name and everything being like a C-3PO type thing.
Ah, that's interesting. We like a little bit of insight there. It's kind of fun. It's starting to slowly turn into like a classic mystery on a train type of story. I think I'm going to kind of run with that direction for a while and see how much fun I can have.
I said it in the thread, but I really do like how it's like intersecting with your actual Ajax story that you're working on. So your space drama is still out there, and this Joe Customs, Joe's Cantina thing is just kind of off to the side, but also running on its own at the same time.
Kind of like the sitcom corner of the universe. This is how I'm looking at it, where I can still add in some depth and kind of tell something that relates to the main story, but get a little bit of fun out of my system with it, too.
So, Dennis, what's been your favorite...
Great segue.
You were correct, Jeff. So, Dennis, back to you and your call. What's been your favorite part of the podcast? Well, over the past year, what have you been drawn to?
Favorite part for me is just the overall theme of, hey, this is a group of guys sitting down together talking shop, same as if we all lived in the same town together, hanging out in somebody's basement, once a week, goofing off
and talking customs and all of that. It's just got an atmosphere to it that even if I haven't been lucky enough to call in, I can just put the headphones on and listen to a show, and it just kind of seems like I'm hanging out with the guys. Whatever you could do to make sure that always stays in place, I think you'll do a good job.
Well, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule, not once, but twice, and jumping on here with us.
No problem. I'm always honored when I get the chance.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Glad to have you on board, Dennis.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye. Good night.
This has been fun tonight.
It's been an adventure, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but most relaxed I've been in probably a good month.
Hey, you guys remember the crappy Palisades Toys Army of Darkness figures that came out many, many years ago?
Yeah,
I've got quite a few of them still.
Yeah. I had a ton of them. I used to work at Suncoast, and when those things hit 88-cent clearance, I bought all of them. But they are so brittle that they basically snap if you look at them funny.
Yeah.
I have actually assembled 14 of the articulated skeletons that all still work. I stripped off all the armor, everything. Now I just actually have articulated skeleton figures. And I had tons of just busted ones that kept falling apart.
No, that's still coming in. Okay, now it's gone. Dan, you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah, I'm good.
I have no idea. It was like electronic crickets or something.
Yeah. That's the type of noise where, like, you know, 5 minutes later, the doctor walks in and explains that, you know, he's picked up some Dalek activity and it's interfering with the Wi-Fi.
It's Georgia rain frogs. Sorry about that, guys. I had to step outside for a minute.
Oh, so that's real. It's not in my head.
It's the real deal. Between the crickets and the rain frogs, it's a miracle we can stick around here.
Wow. Oh, good.
Yeah, we should do a special episode where we call up everybody we've ever banned.
Yeah, putting the band back together. All right, now back to live recording.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff. You there?
I totally forgot. And I every time you call me, it makes me laugh out loud because the picture that comes up on my phone when you call is you licking the ship face.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing.
We'll have to get a picture of that to put it in the podcast notes.
No, we're good.
Technical supports provided by Skype tonight.
Skype has been very supportive for this 1 year anniversary show. So, outstanding customs.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10! Woo!
Besides Bucky's custom and Nova's cast of the Skull Thrones, has anything stuck out to you guys over the past couple of weeks?
As we mentioned before, I'm really enjoying Dennis's Joe Cantina, and we talked about that before. But it was nice to see new things from Stormovic, his Dreadnoughts, and what he did with that Swamp Skier was just awesome.
Yeah, I really did like the Swamp Skier.
Very cool, very nice.
The Basilisk, I think he called it. Just updating the design and giving it a few more things. He did a devil fish too. Called it the Stingray, but gave it like a light bar and put a machine gun on the front that could pivot. Pretty good designs.
That's always been one of my favorite vehicles. Regardless of size, the Devilfish is just awesome. I mean, yes. From the cover of G.I. Joe 47, I was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta have that when I was a kid.
As an adult collector, I went back and got the Cobra Piranha specifically so it could go up against the Devilfish. You know, just these one-seater speedboats that have way too much firepower for their own good in each one of them. But, yeah, fantastic designs on both of those.
The Devilfish would win, though. This I command.
Well, unless the operator got his face burned off when he fired the missiles.
True.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe designers back in the day didn't seem to understand, you know, thermal exhaust.
What about you, Dan? Any outstanding customs stick out to you?
I liked Iron Will's Ultimate Duke and the Mexican Superman guy. What was his name? El Dorado. Those were very cool-looking customs. That Duke had a nice, like, animated look to it. It looks almost like you said, like he kind of blended together the Renegades version and the classic Duke. And with the slightly animated style of sculpt, especially to the face, it looked like something you might have seen in a better quality, like, CG cartoon. like back when they were doing Valor versus Venom or whatnot. I could actually see that design in a more modern, you know, with modern graphics, it would look like that.
All you need is a bandolier to just make it, you know, like the classic, and that would seal the deal. Either that or a shoulder holster.
Yeah, that's the only thing really seemed to be missing. The bandolier would have been a nice touch, but just the actual design of the figure, it looks like something you could buy if Hasbro put that out on a, you know, on a card, you know, if you could find it in the stores.
Yeah.
Jeff, what about you?
I got nothing to add at this time.
Okay. Lance Sputnik put up two groups of customs. One was his Uncharted customs, and his Drake figure was really good. I thought that was a solid custom that stepped right out of the video game. And then he did a group of some of his James Bond customs, and I thought his Jaws custom from that line was again, it just kind of stepped right out of the movie. Yeah, some great customs in both sets, both groups of those customs, but those two out of each one really stood out to me.
Yeah, the Uncharted figures, I've never played the game, so I honestly don't have the background on the character, but they are just very well-designed adventurer-type characters. I was blown away by how great they look. I can't say, you know, if they're accurate to the game or not, because I've never played it. Beautiful figures. I'm really impressed with those.
Even though...
Ha-ha!
Oh, there we go.
He's back!
Skype likes you again. Yay!
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome back.
I was playing cards?
I was just talking about Lance Sputnik's customs, his Uncharted Drake figure and his Jaws figure from the James Bond customs he did, too.
You know what my favorite part about those customs are?
Yes, God.
He did those like 10 years ago.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Those, well, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating.
Well, he said he updated a new batch.
Yeah, well, he did. But not only did he update them, though, but he somehow got inspired to just flood the site with new customs into the gallery, which, as a cheerleader of the gallery, I am very much happy with. And I would put the challenge out there to anybody who's listening to this podcast who's been putting off putting things in the gallery, do it. Flood it. 10 at a time.
I think you actually shamed him by saying you're a member of the gallery staff and you don't submit customs anymore.
Jeff, I feel like you're calling me out.
I've got to start submitting stuff, too. I, for some reason, I always seem to forget to put it in the gallery when I post the things.
One day, I was just putting one or two things up, and it seems like there used to be some kind of rule where you could only submit 5 things to the gallery at one time,
yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the rule anymore. Now you can submit as many to the gallery as you want.
It's never been about how many you can submit. It was always, we tried to mix it up so like one person wouldn't rule the roost, you know, so it wasn't just one person. But if you go through a week and only one person submits that one week, then they're going to rule the roost. So that's kind of what it is. We wanted a variety. So if 5 people post customs, you know, over a week, we try to mix it up. A couple from this guy, a couple from that guy, a couple from this girl, whatever it is, and try to mix it up. But if it's just one person and that's all that's there, we'll just shoot through and green light it, whoever's doing the green lighting at that time.
And I just want to say that I waited until the custom queue was empty, and then I submitted 10. And when I went to the custom queue list and looked at the last 10, I was every single one. And I know that when I did that, Sputnik got mad because he wanted to be every single one. And I'm just putting it out there to all Joe Customs members that keep an eye on that. You can have every single one of the top 10.
Yeah,
whatever. Good job. Good job, Joe Michaels. Bucket list.
Hey, did you guys check out IW Beta's Rose Gallery from The Flash?
Those were
awesome. I'm so used to seeing him do, you know, Joe-related figures or mask-related figures. And you know, he's been, you know, venturing out into superheroes, and he did some awesome interpretations of some of the Flash villains. Definitely worth check him out.
Right, the Rose Gallery. Yeah, I thought you said Rose Gallery. I'm like, what? The Rose Gallery. And just, you know, he used the Joe part, so they aren't 100% comic accurate, but I really like all the changes that he made and the head sculpt choices that he went with and the sculpting. Of course, he's a great sculptor. Yeah, those were really slick looking. And the Captain Boomerang, I guess, Junior, whatever the younger version is, I thought he nailed that look.
Well, the interesting thing about using the Joe parts, the way they look, like almost like they're slightly armored, they very much look like what movie versions could look like if the movie studios actually, you know, followed the comic books. but with that kind of like padded suit aesthetic they seem to be sticking to, they look like they could be movie versions of these particular characters. They look really cool.
Exactly.
Speaking of movie versions of DC characters, I was going through some bald-headed fodder parts trying to find a Ben Affleck custom from a Batman custom. And I'm starting to think that Professor X from the Marvel Universe with a little bit of a cowl on him might be a good look. It's got the chin.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a fantastic idea. Well,
what do you guys think about that? I mean, yay or nay? You think you can pull it off?
I think he's a decent enough actor. But the problem with having someone like that is the fact that you're not going to be watching Batman. You're going to be watching Ben Affleck being Batman. They should really cast lesser-known actors in the roles so you're not overtaken by the celebrity aspect of it as opposed to the character. That's my take on it. Like, I think you can pull it off, but it's Ben Affleck playing Batman.
Just from a customizer perspective, he's got the acting chops. I don't think there's any question. You know, can he play a douche playboy that everybody thinks is just, you know, a smile and a pretty face, but nothing else? Yeah, guess what? That's Bruce Wayne. Can he play a superhero? Yeah, we've seen him in Daredevil. But me, from a customizer perspective, hey, that's a whole other set of customs I can start making. You know, and if Mattel does make even its 5 points of articulation figure, that's a Ben Affleck head that I'll be getting that may or may not resemble. But, you know, there's going to be a bigger figure that somebody's going to cast those heads and shrink them down, you know, just like they did with the Terminator Bale head. So all of a sudden we got Ben Affleck heads and we can finally get those View Askew Kevin Smith movie customs that everybody's been clamoring for.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Before we go too far from that, I just want to back up a sec, and I just want to let you know, P-Love, that I'm going to wait for these customs. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Fred O'Banion from Dazed and Confused. Can't wait to see it. Shannon from Mallrats. Can't wait to see it. Holden McNeil from Chasing Amy. Awesome. All right. Bartleby from Dogma. It's going to be great. Rudy Duncan, Reindeer Games. Going to be one of your best. See.
Are you on his IMDb page?
Larry Giggly from Giggly. Oh, is it Jiggly? I bet you'd like to make a Jiggly custom, wouldn't you? Yeah, I'm on. Okay, you caught me. I'm on his IMDb.
I was like, your list is in alphabetical order. How's that?
By the way, the Batman versus Superman is actually on his IMDb page in pre-production. I guess that means it's real, right?
Well, no, they can update that at any point. Yeah. Any idiot can go on there. It's like Wikipedia.
You know, <right? laughs> Then we slam the door on that one. Oh, by the way, my thoughts about him, Dan, I can't find your page on here.
I'm sorry?
Spectre, you don't have an IMDb page yet. You want me to get on that?
You can do that. I was in a couple of films, but only one of them I know ever made it to actual, release.
Okay, so you need to work on your IMDb page. But anyway, I think that Ben Affleck playing Batman is going to be a victim of its own hype machine. And not only is it going to bomb the movie, but it's probably going to stop Warner Brothers from ever making another DC film again.
The one thing I've heard, the one critique I guess I can't quite disagree with yet, is if it bombs, it probably won't be because of Affleck. You know, it'll be script, it'll be movie, it'll be plot, it'll be something, but it won't necessarily be him.
I just can't believe he agreed to it. It took him so long to become legitimate again after everybody bashed him in Daredevil that I can't believe he would willingly step back into that.
I'm thinking he's thinking about his kids' college and whether he wants to add a bigger pool.
Yeah, it depends on how big the check was that they cut him.
I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers is like, here's a check, you come up with some numbers, just write them in, we'll cover it.
I think we need to start a campaign zombie guide as Batman and the Batman versus Superman. Holy I would totally do that.
I think I'd rather just see him be a Gotham PD in the background. You know, let's just cross our fingers that they film it down in wherever he's from down there.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get myself another agent so I can get back into the game as well. So hopefully it'll get me in that film too.
I'd just like to see Zombie Guy in a Batman mask.
And the Spectre, and nothing else.
The Spectre, yeah, I'm not that fat. I'm not that big.
Do we cover the Rogue States GP? the group project, Rogue State, coming up with your own faction, your own country, along with a general and a leader and soldiers.
Hands up. Are any of you doing this? Let's put it that way. Because this is a fantastic GP, and if we're not doing it, then we're horrible people.
I feel bad, because you're right. It's totally a great idea. It's just bad timing. It came up at a bad time, and I know there's still time left, but not for me. There's just not enough time in the day to work on it.
Yeah, I had to bow out, so I was just thinking about it. I came up with a cool country and their, you know, their political climate and everything, but no time to make the figures.
Yeah, I will say this. You will see something that's very similar, that's along that vein that I got from brainstorming it, but just not right now. And that is one of the side benefits of the group projects. Like, even if you don't do it, it puts the idea in your head to use later.
Yeah, I started the Swarm a couple months before, you know, it was mentioned as a GP project. I'm like, dang, you know, if I had waited a couple months to post it, that would have been perfect for that project.
What about you, Jeff? Why are you a horrible person?
Well, I just don't have the time. I hate to say it, and it sounds like such a weak thing, but it's one of those things where I haven't even been able to do an NJC lately just because I've got my own things going on. And so therefore somebody else putting out a challenge me, I just can't do it. I could probably say that the reality of it is that it's a great idea. And if I just could take summer's a bad time because if I have a day off, I have to mow the lawn, you know?
Yeah. I know that one.
Damn, this whole being an adult thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It sucks.
So, sorry. Great idea. Moving on. Workbench.
The customizing workbench. Workbench.
What are you guys working on right... Well, you guys already talked about it. You guys are working on stuff right now as we're recording.
That's the fun of it, though.
Let's see. Me? I got one sticker, one decal I got to do for this Wounded Warrior softball player, and then I'm done. And I'm just... I know. It's sad. I can't even find the time to print out a decal, but it's coming. Yeah. And then just putting some parts together to come up with some ideas for customs. Trying to... Even though I won't be able to finish in time, I at least want to start piecing together the stuff for the Rogue State, see what I can come up with. Actually, see if I have the parts or what I got to track down. That's it for me. Pretty sad week overall for customizing.
Huh? What about the long run? What do you guys have going on in the long run that, you know, maybe that won't be finished in the week, but, you know, maybe hope to put together and accomplish by the end of the year?
I've been working on my zombie swarm that I talked about a while back for my Halloween project, the Planet of the Dead. And I've got a nice size swarm put together. I'm up to about 24, give or take. So I'll sit down and paint them at some point because I want to debut them in October in either little small groups or maybe one a day, because there's a story that goes with each one.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to lose a week in September because I'm going on vacation, so I'm going to try to start working on them soon and then continue them after I get back from vacation.
Let's see, long term, just going through the works in progress that I've stored up, you know, a bunch of old ring construction figures that have been sitting there for a few years now, just trying to get them off. They're all parted. Some of them even have a base coat of paint on them, but just trying to actually complete them. There's a spirit custom in there that was an O-ring figure, then it was a new sculpt figure, and then it was a hybrid, and then finally it's a modern era 25th, and then finally had some Pursuit of Cobra parts added to it, finally finishing it so they don't change the construction on it before I can get it out there. Jeff?
Remember when Eric was on and I said I was working on that Popeye work in progress and he laughed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys seen that yet?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good setup.
No, so anyway, I've got that, and I'm waiting on a Cobra sticker from the Cobra Stickers guys. Hey, are they out of Canada, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to take a while.
No, they tend to ship pretty fast, I think, because it's flat mail. it tends to go through a little bit quicker. It's usually customs that kind of hangs things up for another day or week or two.
Gotcha. Good. Well, I'm waiting on that. You know those plastic drawers that most serious collectors keep all their figures in? You know, every figure's got its own drawer, got its accessories and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You buy those drawers from like Home Depot or what have you?
The nuts and bolts drawers?
Yeah, the nuts and bolts drawers. I've got an entire one of those filled up with works in progress that if I can clear that by the end of the year, I probably never need to do another custom again in my life.
If I could get through a row, just a row, that'd be fantastic. 4 to 6 customs a year. That's what I'm at right now.
Is that 4 to 6 or 46?
4 to 6.
Oh, okay. I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah, that's sad. That's why the Rogue States thing, I'm just like shaking my head. That would be my entire year's production.
Oh, come on. You made Dragon Bike. He looked awesome.
You know, you might see some more of those because she's been begging me to sit down and play with her again. And maybe tomorrow we'll sit down and see what I can come up with to tackle her princess castle. Her princesses are powerful. You guys have no idea. They can shoot fireballs and fly and know kung fu.
That's pretty formidable.
Brad, what about you long term?
Well, I've got a project going. It's kind of a throwback to World War II, where I want to get Captain America and his, underground teammates together and make them, all the characters for that. It'd be like a Secret Six type thing.
I think the frogs and crickets got them.
I would like to make a brief statement. I have enjoyed this so much this last year. Like it's been said before, it's like a bunch of guys getting together and just talking shop and talking about toys and BSing and having a good time. And I honestly really look forward to this every month. And I actually wish we could do it more than once a month, but I know it's tough to get everybody together schedule-wise. But I've been having a blast. I'm honored to be a part of it. And I want this to continue for a very long time.
Nice.
Hear, hear.
No, I agree. I wish at some point the technology will catch up with us and we'll be able to figure out this in such a way that, we'd be able to do this with additional people, or, we'll get a video podcast going or something like that where, maybe we could do like a tutorial or just do a live action podcast or a live action customizing session or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking a little bit beyond my memes here, since I'm not volunteering.
That would be interesting to do, though. Like, that would be something we do a year or two down the road once we've got this completely set up that we're doing it correctly.
Yeah, I think it'll be right on.
It's possible. I mean, we could do, like, a Skype video cast and actually record the screen. It's possible. But, yeah, you see how much trouble we just have doing audio on Skype. But I agree. And one of the big problems we have with guests, it's like, do you have Skype? No, I don't. And then can you call in? And then they call in, and if the connection isn't there, if Skype isn't coordinating, it's really hard for them to hear, really hard for you guys to hear them. And it just becomes a big ball of a technical issue.
But Skype is free, though. I mean, anybody can just download it. It shouldn't be that hard to get.
One of the other things maybe we could think about doing in the new year, because I assume we're doing this for another year, right?
At least another year, I hope.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Is why don't we get more people involved, not just old-timers? I mean, you guys are about the oldest timers there are. Well, we've also had a lot of other old-timers on here, or not everybody, so I feel bad saying that, but we have had a lot of old people and we've old Joe Customs members. And I know that we've got some lined up for the next few months. But what I was thinking might be kind of fun is let's just throw a thread out there on the board just saying, hey, if you'd like to comment on a particular section of a show, whether it be Fodder Box or Workbench or something like that, and then we just call them up, and then we just, instead of having a whole featured guest for the entire episode, we actually just have, like, a guest for a particular section.
Segment.
Yeah, segment. Thank you.
Pretty good.
What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I gotta let you guys know, I was a guest on the Custom Action Figure News, which is a part of Imperial Shipyards. I did a 2-night gig with them. We did a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up. I plugged the hell out of this show.
Cool.
Every chance I got, I mentioned, if we had to introduce ourselves, I mentioned that I'm one of the Joe Customs podcast hosts. Every chance I got, I brought up Joe Customs podcast. So I'm sure that got us a couple more listeners, because I'm sure people were intrigued and wanted to come over and hear the other show.
Cool.
Nice, dude. 17 well listeners. 17.
Exactly. There you go.
And then it's not my mom.
And they're having me on as a guest to discuss my custom work on November the 14th. And I'm going to do the same thing again on November the 14th.
Send out a plug on the site.
Oh, for me being on their show?
Heck yeah.
Yeah,
I'll do that. I'll put something out there.
Yeah, as far as a guest list, I think, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have IW Beta. You know, I mean, he's a long timer, but how about Dusty 79? I mean, he's been really active, and it'd be somebody nice to get on the show and talk to him and get his take on the whole community.
How about Dark Jedi?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so, too. I think that, you know, for all the that we give him and he gets, you know, he's a pretty prominent member on the site.
Yep.
You know, get him on for at least a segment, if nothing else.
I don't care what you people say. I think he's funny. He cracks
me
up.
Oh, he's very funny. He's a good friend of mine. He actually just hooked me up with a Star Wars figure I've been looking for almost 10 years. I think it was actually pretty cool of him. But there's a lot of good people we should get on. There's a lot of talented, like you said, Dusty 79. He's relatively new to the site, but he's been pretty active. We got to see about maybe getting Iron Will. He's been doing some great stuff. There's a lot of good people out there, and they should take part in it. We should really open it up to everybody in the community.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I think I think in the end it would just help us out, because if nothing else, people tuning in to listen to themselves, but also if you know, if people are going to get sick of listening to me not have anything really to say.
I am really excited, because, like, usually it's like month by month, who are we going to have on? Oh, okay, not this month, maybe next month. This is the first time we've got several guests lined up for the next few months, you know? So I'm really excited about that. And they're good guests. Oreo Builder, you know, AVAX Lab, J-Man, and I know Jozar wants to have the guys from Iowa Assembly so they can come on there and talk about their show coming up. There's some exciting things we have coming up that, you know, we're just juggling right now.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to call it a show.
Sounds good.
I want to thank you guys in particular. You guys have made this a worthwhile adventure, you know. It's something I'm glad we did. I'm glad, you know, the site talked us into it, and I twisted Dan's arm into doing it and got Jeff on board. Brad's been there from the get-go, and chirping crickets and frogs and all, he's been a great sport through all of this and working through his work schedule to make time for us. I really appreciate it, guys. And thank you to all the guests we've had on. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
A great time.
Well, here's to 1 year and many more.
Exactly. Cheers, everyone.
Jeff?
Well said, boss.
Happy anniversary, Jim, because it's podcast.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Next time on the Joe Customs Podcast.
J-Man from D&J Toys.
And then some.
You got what you need. Got what you need. Got what you need. Got what you need. You can find me selling automatics to the melodramatic. They got the cash, I got a stash. It's a hell of a habit. Well established in the practice of helping the masses blow up each other's stuff. I'm diplomatic, pragmatic. Can't make a business out of acting nice. You're looking at the man who built the mass device. From satellites to plants that grow to massive heights. Got what you need, and I always get my asking price. This ain't a passive fight. Keep me out your blasting sights. Less of course, you're prepared to get wiped. That's just a fact of life. Grew up in harm's way. And these wrist rockets aren't for cosplay. I am the arms race. Amulet wearing super inventor. I even helped create Serpentor, your mentor. Highly skilled tactician. You're trying to take me out. Should have started practicing hundreds of years ago. I'll try and make it clearer so you can understand. You never ever met a fiercer foe. Look in the mirror, yo. That's beryllium steel. My family heirloom, worn with militant zeal. Ill super skilled as a villain for real. Got the public hating on me like I'm killing some seals. A brilliant heel. Better stop spinning my wheels. Pick up the bill for my meal. And if you're willing to deal, call Destro. There's stake in the name. I invented putting snakes on a plane. Call Destro. Got what you need to knock them dead. From battle barges to infrared rocket sleds. Call Destro. For nothing but the best, bro. We accept credit, cash, and checks. Call Destro. We never use old parts. And if I'm not around, ask for Voltar.
I thought that was just fine.
That was actually pretty funny. You should leave that one.